إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about the issue of building a relationship with the Quran al-Kareem. The Quran al-Kareem is the closest that we will get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the closest that we can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. It is not for us in this life to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly or to have any contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly except through His kalam. And therefore, it is very important for us to pay attention to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned before, and that is the series that we are continuing, that there are three kinds of ayat in the Quran. One is ayat that relate to the greatness and glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second set of ayat that relate to the ahkam, the orders and the instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for us to live in this world. And the third set of ayat, and inshallah we'll try to talk about those today, are the ayat which relate to what I like to call as glimpses of history of previous people. Now, people also call them stories of the Quran. And they are stories, but the term story in English has the same connotation as the word kahani in Urdu. So a kahani can be true, a kahani can also be some concocted story. Whereas in the Quran there is no concocted story. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something in the Quran, this is haqq. And this is also our aqeedah with respect to all the narrations that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made in the ahadith, that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned something, then that thing is not a concocted story, it is not some imaginary thing that actually happened among the people of the past. There are several such things where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in the people of the past and this was there and so on and so on. For example, in my lecture last night I mentioned the dua of the man who made this dua, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultani. This is from the hadith and this is haqq, this actually happened, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. So it's not a imaginary, it's not a story in that context or that connotation of the term story. So therefore I like to call them glimpses of the history of previous people, just to make sure that we don't have any wrong understanding of the term story. Now, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these narrations about previous people? Now, any question like this cannot be answered definitely or definitively. I cannot say this is why Allah said it because I am not receiving wahi. But what I can say is that my understanding of why perhaps, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, my understanding of why perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this is in the context of what we call proof of concept in our business terminology. Now, proof of concept is that here is I'm consulting with a company. And I suggest to them a particular tool to use or a particular quality system to use, or I suggest to them a particular process they should follow. They know who I am, so I have established my own personal credibility with them. That's why they are talking to me. I am suggesting to them a certain process that I believe they should follow. The next question comes is, how do I know this will work? Have you tried this elsewhere before? Can you give me some evidence to show that this thing actually works? That's what we call proof of concept. So what is the proof that your concept is actually workable, feasible, and will be successful? There's two ways of doing proof of concept. One is you either run a pilot project somewhere and you have that pilot project data, which can then be applied on a larger scale, or you have incidents where It's not a pilot project, but the same thing has been done in some other company. For example, when GE started the Six Sigma process, quality standard in GE, the proof of concept of Six Sigma was Six Sigma application in Motorola. And Michael Harry is the guy who actually created this concept of Six Sigma quality, and he used to work for Motorola. So there was Motorola had a success story with regard to Six Sigma, and GE took it from Motorola because they know, well, credibility already established, here's the proof of concept, the thing works, so we are going to use it. Now the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these many such instances of proof of concept of following the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens when you follow the orders of Allah and what happens when you do not follow the orders of Allah? There are stories of both kinds. There are stories also of both kinds relating to individuals, and there are stories of both kinds relating to people. So dynasties, to groups of people, to countries, and so on and so forth. So all of these. So inshallah we will, I'm not going into a detailed study of all of them, but inshallah we will try to see in the next few days if we can look at least some of them to understand. Today I want to mention one of the earliest of them, and we'll try to follow some kind of chronology in this, which is the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a, as you know, the surah itself called Surah An-Nuh, and also Nuh alayhi salam story is mentioned in several other places in the Quran. Now, because there is a surah by the name of Nuh alayhi salam, this is not to be, there's no special meaning to that. For example, Musa alayhi salam's story is in 28 out of the 30 juz of the Quran, but there's no Suratul Musa, right? Now, Isa alayhi salam's story is in many places in the Quran, but there's no Suratul Isa, but there is Suratul Maryam. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. He names whatever he likes, however he likes. Now, Nuh alayhi salam's story, when you listen to the stories again, two or three things. One is to actually read the story, what happened, and so on and so on. Then the main purpose of the story, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the story, is for the lesson. The story is not for the entertainment value of it. The story is not because it's an interesting story. The story is for the lesson that we learn from that story. So when we listen to the story, we say, well, so what is the lesson I have learned from this story which I can apply in my own life? And that is the value of the story. Nuh alayhi salam's story, if you know, he is after Adam alayhi salam. He is first of all among the what are called the Ulul Azam, min al Anbiya, the greatest of the Anbiya. And that is Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the five of them are considered the Ulul Azam min al Anbiya. These are the greatest of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So Nuh alayhi salam is one of them. Now he's also called the father of the prophets in many ways. Of course Ibrahim alayhi salam is also called that, but Nuh alayhi salam, because he's one of the earliest. One of the biggest lessons that we learn from his story is the lesson of steadfastness and the lesson of perseverance and the lesson of not giving up and the lesson of not falling into depression. Today we especially in the work of da'wah, we lose heart very quickly. You start with a lot of enthusiasm and, you know, this great josh, and then you hit a wall and then that's it, fin khalas. And you say, oh, I tried so hard, nobody listens to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned the number of years. To the best of my knowledge, Allah didn't mention the number of years for anybody else. He mentioned the number of years that Nuh alayhi salam did the work of da'wah. And how many years is that? 950. That's not his age. His age was obviously more than that. Because this is his work. This is the work of da'wah that Nuh alayhi salam did for 950 years. And then if you look at the story, what is the story? Was he hugely successful in terms of numbers? Did he have this vast multitude of billions of people and, you know, nothing. Nothing. We know from different sources that maybe 100 people accepted Islam, Allah Alam. Very few people. I mean, there were enough people to put into one boat. So, I mean, how big is that? So, the point is that here is a Nabi of Allah who is working and he is doing Dawah 950 years continuously and with very little so-called results to show for it, or results in our terms. So, this is another big lesson. What is the result that you're looking for? How do you measure results? These are all very important things to think about. How do you measure results? Today we measure results by Facebook likes. What would the Ambiya have done? Facebook likes. How many Facebook likes did Muhammad Sallam get? Take Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 13 years of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Nubuwat in Makkah, how many people? 13 years. And this is the mehnat of the Nabi. This is not some ordinary person. This is the Nabi of Allah. What kind of effort he must be making? So, Nuh Alayhi Salaam, 950 years, handful of people. What is the lesson we learn? We learn a lesson of a huge, big heart. Amazing amount of confidence, amazing amount of perseverance and courage, refusal to give up, and the measurement of results according to the correct standard and criterion, which is the Rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. That is the only way of measuring results. Not numbers. Not numbers. Anytime some of my, I've got a lot of modern shuyukh as my friends. So anytime some of them become very, or not them really, I mean, they generally don't say all this stuff to me, but their murids, they got a lot of followers. So when the murids get very ecstatic about, we had this conference and we had 3,000 people. So I tell them, Sai Baba's conference generally has 300,000 people. So big deal. You have 3,000 people. Who cares? Go to Baba Ramdev's conference and see how many people. Go to Sri Ravi Shankar's conference and see how many people there are. So your 3,000 people means what? Don't get needlessly excited about nonsensical figures. So if you apply this standard on numbers, then what must you say? Nuh Alayhi Salaam's life was a failure? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The lesson we learn is the lesson of perseverance, the lesson of doing the da'wat of Islam, the lesson of following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukam without worrying about who comes, who listens, who does not listen, who can I convince, who has not been convinced. That's not my job. My job is to tell my story. My job is to present the deen. Perseverance. And the standard is Rida of Allah. And how will you know whether Allah is pleased or not? When will you know that whether Allah is pleased or not? Anyone? When? When you meet Him. You will know when you meet Allah. Which means that how long must you do this work? When will your work be finished? Somebody asked someone, they said, he came and asked a question to his sheikh. He said, how do I know whether my assignment or my work in this life is finished? He said, if you are alive, it is not finished. If you are alive, it is not finished. So when will you know whether Allah is pleased or not? When you meet Allah. So how long must you work? As long as you are alive. Without worrying about popularity, without worrying about how many people are saying, mashallah, mashallah, nothing. You work only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuously check the ikhlas of your niyyah. Our shuyukh is to say, ikhlasun niyyah is like you are carrying a bundle of notes, or you are carrying your wallet with your credit cards or whatnot in your pocket, and you are going through a a very busy marketplace which is full of people, and you know there are pickpockets and so on in that whole crowd, they're bound to be. So what will you do? How will you treat that money? You will have one hand on that pocket the whole time, right? Because you don't know, if you are not careful, then you suddenly find the wallet is gone. So when you need the money now, you are nothing. This is how you must treat the ikhlas of your niyyah. Because there is shaitan waiting to steal it. So we have to continuously keep checking. I started with ikhlas, no doubt about this, alhamdulillah, but is my ikhlas still there? Or somewhere along the way my pocket got picked. I came with money, but now do I still have the money? Or is it gone? So these are these are not the only lessons from Nuh alayhi salam. We will do this later, but further reminders, we keep it short. So for today, the lesson is courage, perseverance, patience, and working for the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Not worried about popularity and this and that, a number of followers, nothing. All of these are things which steal your ikhlas. These are the things which shaitan uses to destroy the result of your effort. Because you then get involved in how many followers and this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Don't worry about that. So for today, inshallah, this is the lesson. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn and to practice. The purpose of all this is to practice, bring it into our lives. And bismillahi ta'ala, if Allah gives the hayat and the ability, we will talk more tomorrow and day after and so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and to save us from all forms of misguidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming and the fasting and اعتكاف and تلاوت القرآن and listening to the Quran and salah and so on. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.